All right, we're going to pull that music down because you're listening to Surreal News on WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 in Bradenton, Florida. And my name is Steve Norris, and we have our Fun Drive show. And in the studio joining me this morning, I love it, is Juan Montanaro. All right, Juan, let's get your, what color mic? You're the pink mic here.
Yeah.
So you're going to help us support the radio station and Surreal News this morning, correct?
Well, your show is so valuable. I think your show is such a valuable asset to WSLR Radio. How many years have you been on the air? Let me interview you a little bit.
Since the beginning. So we've been here, how long is WSLR?
I don't know what the beginning means.
2004, I think about 20 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, we have a news team, so I don't want to say that it's all Surreal News. So
no, I know.
Johannes,
go ahead.
Is the head of our news team, and he's been doing just a fabulous job in coordinating all of us, including the local other independent news. You know, independent news is dying in the whole United States.
I know.
We have a strong news team right here in Sarasota that Johannes Werner has been coordinating, and we're part of it, the Surreal News, as well as the other. And you'll hear news tonight on WSLR.
Johannes has been with us, what, a year?
Yeah, he's our official news
director
here, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So it's giving some form to all the information programs like this one.
Correct. And making sure we don't repeat things and making sure we don't miss things, especially local news. Local news is real tough. All right, so today we also will be hearing from our co-host, Lou Larini, and he has prepared some interesting news items for you today. Then after some news items, we're going to listen to Greg Pallast. We're going to be joined by Greg Pallast, our investigative reporter, and he's going to be reporting on us on the integrity of voting in the United States. And those of you that know Greg Pallast know he's just fabulous. You're going to be on the edge of your seats for that one. If you want to support our radio station, we'd appreciate it. We are going to play some news, but we need your support. 941-894-6469 is the number, 941-894-6469, or at WSLR.org. Yeah. So today, during our show, we're going to cover important news items, like what to expect with climate change and the work to prepare for it. Also, what to expect if you work with an immigrant or if you're an immigrant in Florida. We're also, there's a new woke course being taught at New College. It's not what you think. And we're also going to talk about Moms for Liberty, both causing waves, the new course in woke and Moms for Liberty. Musk is going to talk to us about some waves, and also we're going to talk about the DOJ weighs in on Matt Gaetz as the Attorney General. All this we're going to cover today, plus much more. Please contribute to independent news items like WSLR and WBPV. And we're going to start with some report on climate change. And Lou Larini is going to tell us a little bit about that.
It's making hurricanes worse for Tampa Bay water systems. As hurricanes Debby, Helena, and Milton roared through the Gulf of Mexico, all three threatened Tampa Bay water systems. And another symptom of how American infrastructure isn't ready for climate change. Hurricane Debby dumped 14 inches of rain in some parts of the region, overwhelming drainage systems and flooding areas that had rarely, if ever, experienced those conditions. Both Helene and Milton sparked shutdowns of water treatment plants in St. Petersburg, forcing many residents to forego showers and toilet flushings. Some Pinellas County coastal communities were under boil water notices for several days due to damaged pipes and pump stations from Helena's record storm surge. Many more communities from southern Pinellas, Barrier Islands to Temple Terrace dealt with drinking water issues after Milton due to power outages and busted pipes. And through all the storms, overwhelmed sewage systems discharged millions of gallons of wastewater into waterways. Residents in hurricane-prone areas have learned to expect power outages and floods, but water insecurity during these emergencies is a fairly new phenomenon. With climate change, it's a double whammy of infrastructure continuing to age and Mother Nature throwing at it larger and more intense storm events, said Darren Olson, a water resources engineer who helps put together the American Society of Civil Engineers report card for America's infrastructure. Water infrastructure is made up of three parts: drinking water, wastewater treatment plants, and storm water management. All parts of the system are pushed to the limit during hurricanes due to freshwater flooding, saltwater intrusion from storm surge, power outages, and more. We will always have these events and the trend for them to become more frequent, but what can we do as a nation to make ourselves better prepared, asked Olson. Infrastructure is, I think, a key part of that, but it won't be cheap. When most of American cities' water infrastructure was first installed through the mid-20th century, the federal government was picking up the tab, Olson says. Today, local governments are responsible for maintenance and upgrading. The end result is that we've been underinvesting for decades, he says. Tampa Bay governments have poured millions of dollars into water infrastructure projects in recent years, with more improvements on the way, spokespeople told Axios. For example, a $17 million project is underway to replace an aging drinking water booster station in St. Pete Beach. The new two-story facility is designed to withstand more than 18 feet of flooding. The storms pushed the St. Petersburg Mayor Ken Welch to rethink his city's resiliency strategy. Speaking to reporters last month after Milton, he pointed to the Northeast Water Reclamation Facility, which was shut down during both storms, as an example of past planning coming up short. The plant is undergoing a $70 million project to help it withstand up to 11 feet of storm surge, Welch said. Forecasters at one point projected Milton to bring up to 15 feet of surge. So even with our good planning, the reality is that we're seeing more of an impact from climate change, Welch said. We're seeing more of the extreme impact rather than the moderate. And I think our resiliency plan has to reflect that.
All right, thanks for Lou Larini telling us about some of the impacts of climate change. All right, Sheila.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sheila Jane.
Wait a second. Let's get your mic going. There we go.
There we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Sheila Jane. I do the show Indelicious, but I'm so happy to be answering phones here for our membership drive today. And a big thanks to Kathy Rubido. Kathy, thank you so much. Woo, Kathy! Yeah. Kathy gave at the 9650 level for 96.5. Awesome, Kathy. For Blues to Bluegrass, she loves Blues to Bluegrass show on Monday mornings and says it gets her Monday mornings off to a great start. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. Now we're going to just continue on. I have some information about the work that's being done for climate change, and that's coming up now.
Climate work will continue despite Trump's election win, according to U.S. Climate Envoy. U.S. Climate Envoy John Podesta urged governments to keep faith in the country's promise to combat global warming, saying Donald Trump can slow, not stop, the transition from fossil fuels when he returns to office in January. The annual UN Climate Summit began this week in Baku, Azerbaijan, with many countries' delegations concerned Trump's victory in the U.S. presidential election would hinder progress to limit planetary warming. Trump has promised to again remove the United States, the world's biggest historic greenhouse gas emitter, from international climate cooperation and maximize the country's already record-high fossil fuel production. For those of us dedicated to climate action, last week's outcome in the United States is obviously bitterly disappointing, Podesta said at the council. But what I want to tell you today is that while the United States federal government under Donald Trump may put climate action on the back burner, the work to contain climate change is going to continue in the United States. He said the Inflation Reduction Act, President Joe Biden's landmark climate legislation providing billions of dollars in subsidies for clean energy, would continue to drive investments in solar, wind, and other technologies, and that U.S. state governments would also push emissions cuts through regulation. I don't think that any of that is reversible. Can it be slowed? Maybe. But the direction is clear, he said. Although Trump has promised to rescind the IRA, to do so would require an act of Congress, and that could be elusive due to support from some Republican lawmakers whose districts benefit from IRA-linked investments. Apart from the election of Trump as president of the world's biggest economy, the talks in Macau of vying for attention with economic concerns and wars in Ukraine and Gaza, that complicates the summit's ambition to resolve the priority agenda item, a deal for up to $1 trillion in annual climate finance for developing countries, replacing a target of $100 billion. UN Climate Chief Simon Steele sought to whip up momentum. Let's dispose with the idea that climate finance is charity, he said at the Macau Stadium. An ambitious new climate finance goal is entirely in the self-interest of every nation, including the largest and wealthiest. This year is on track to be the hottest on record. Rich and poor countries alike have been challenged by extreme weather events, including flooding disasters in Africa, coastal Spain, and the U.S. state of North Carolina, drought gripping South America, and Mexico, and the U.S. West. But even agreeing on one of the COP29's first tasks has proved a challenge. Setting the agenda for negotiations was delayed for several hours. Three sources with knowledge of the closed-door discussions asking to remain anonymous said the European Union and small island countries were demanding nations follow up last year's deal, including how to take forward its agreement to transition away from coal, oil, and gas.
Well, thanks to Lou Larini for telling us about some climate change effects and the work being done. Now, in the studio, we have Juan Montenegro from Latin Explosion. Juan?
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. So, we're in the middle of the fall membership drive, and WSLR, Fogartyville, and our newspaper, Critical, are the three things that we do here, and they're renewable resources, and that mean a couple of things for you. Like all renewable resources, WSLR Radio is there for you every day, 365 days out of the year, powering you through good days and bad days with great music, local news, and also international news. But like all renewable resources, it takes wise stewardship, careful stewardship of the resources to keep it flowing. Community radio is part of our shared heritage. Community radio belongs to us, to the people. It's our right, created by Congress, to have a public radio system, just like public schools, public universities, public libraries, you know, public parks. It's all part of this public side of society, and public radio is a part of that. It's meant to be a part of that, and indeed, it's supposed to stay there. Like all rights, it comes with responsibilities to maintain and keep those rights. So please go ahead, pick up the phone right now, call us at 941-894-6469, and tell the person who answers the phone, I want to protect my renewable resource. Okay, I want to protect my renewable resource. I want to become a member of WSLR. If you're already a member, fantastic. Let us know that keeping this renewable resource is important to you. Call 941-894-6469 or donate securely online at our website, wslr.org.
Great, and Sheila's waiting to take your calls. We have volunteers here. All right, next news story. If you're an immigrant or if you work with an immigrant, you're going to want to hear this next story.
People are afraid. Trump's deportation plan raises concerns across Central Florida. Of Florida's roughly 23 million residents, 950,000 to 1 million are believed to be undocumented. Most are from Mexico and Central America and South America, as well as a growing contingent from Haiti and elsewhere in the Caribbean. Historically, most have been drawn by state agriculture, the second largest industry besides tourism in the Sunshine State. But those in the local farm communities expect the mass deportation plan advanced by President-elect Donald Trump to have little impact on growers. WESH2 News was in Mount Dora this week, where 90 workers from Mexico were laboring in the heat to harvest cucumbers from the acreage at the Long and Scott farms. Those workers are not undocumented. They're here as part of a U.S. Department of Labor's and U.S. Citizenship Immigration Services Department's H-2A visa program. It allows foreign nationals to work temporarily in the U.S. There is no such thing as paying people under the table. You can't afford it. You can't afford the penalties if you get caught, and it's just not a good business plan, Hank Scott said. Scott said he pays about $4,000 to get each one of these workers here on the visa program, and in addition to that, he pays them $18 an hour. He said hiring undocumented workers would cost him far more in fines and penalties. H-2A visa workers number roughly 350,000 across the nation, with about 60,000 in Florida working all kinds of jobs, but a big chunk of them work in agriculture. Rick Freeman, who owns citrus groves in central Florida and uses dozens of Mexican farm workers on visas, he said growers who are following the law have no worries about President-elect's mass deportation plan. It isn't going to have any effect on us, because we have spent the last 15 years switching to H-2As, he said. Besides agriculture, the industries likely most affected by the deportation plan are construction, waste management, hospitality, and food service and retail. Many of them seek assistance for services and referrals at the Hope Community Center in Apopka, and they're worried about what happens to them when Trump regains office in January. People are afraid, said Executive Director Philippe Souza Lazabarte. He said a significant number of the 20,000 people the Hope Community Center serves each year are not in this country legally, but many have been living, working, and paying taxes for decades. The center is providing mental health counseling and training beginning this week to inform people of the rights and advise them of what to do if stopped by authorities. There are 700,000 U.S. citizens who have at least one undocumented person in their family in Florida, Souza Labarte said. All these 700,000 citizens are having conversations with their family members. Their families are about to be ripped apart, maybe. According to the American Immigration Council, mass deportation could have a serious negative effect on financing for us all. People who are undocumented pay more than $75 billion a year in federal, state, and local taxes, and they also pay $22.6 billion annually into Social Security and $5.6 billion into Medicare each year. The council also estimates that the deportation plan for 13 million people across the nation will require no fewer than 24 new detention centers and 1,000 new immigration courtrooms to handle the caseload.
Some news about immigrants from Lou Larini. Thanks, Lou Larini. All right, Juan, tell people how they can help support us.
You're listening to Surreal News with Steve Norris and Lou Larini. We're in the middle of the WSLR Fogartyville fall membership drive. You know, Steve is getting a little later into the morning. People are coming into the office now. We see him walking in. We've been here since 7, so we've seen when it's like nobody here. But
the phones are a little quiet. We could use some phones, some contributions here.
Yeah. So this is the number to call. This is the time to do it. This is the time to do it before you get into a busy weekend mode. Make your WSLR contribution now at the office number, which is the following. 941-894-6469. 941-894-6469. There are plenty of volunteers here waiting to pick up your phone call.
Great. And just keep in mind, local news is really taking a hit and going to be taking a hit under the new administration. And it takes billions of dollars to destroy local news throughout the whole country. But it only takes $40 to be a listener or $60 to be a friend and support our local news here. Okay, so if you, I know we don't have as much money as the billionaires, but please try to support us. And one of our reporters is Greg Palast, who's a investigative reporter about election news. And he's going to tell us about the integrity of voting in the United States here. Don't touch that dial.
VPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. And joining us today for his report on the integrity of voting is Greg Palast. Good day to you, Greg.
Good day. It's not as good as we would hope. That is, I'm not concerned about whether Trump won or lost. What I'm concerned is about the state of our democracy.
Yes, and before we get into that, I just want to remind people that your investigative reporter for Guardian, BBC Television, Rolling Stone, a string of New York Times bestsellers, including Best Democracy, Money Can Buy, and Billionaires, and Ballot Bandits, and his new film, Vigilante, America's New Vote Suppression Hitman, narrated by Rosaria Dawson and produced by Martin Sheen, which we'll talk about today. So tell us, how is the integrity of voting here in the United States?
Not very good. Okay, so let me give you the breakdown here. Number one, one single organization, True the Vote, came up with a list of 2 million voters to challenge. Now, I know as of August 5, with 2 months before the election, that they had already challenged 852,000 voters. Now, what does that mean, challenge? Who are these people? Under laws left over from the Jim Crow era in 43 states, anyone could have the ability to challenge someone else's votes. Now, this has not happened since 1946 when the Klan used this plan. But the Trump plan for 2024 is the Klan plan of 1946 when the Klan set out to block every black voter in America. But now, Trump's organizations kicked it into cyberspace. What I mean is, for example, if you watch my film Vigilantes, Inc., which, by the way, you can stream for free at gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST, gregpalast.com. You can stream this film for free. Thank you, Leonardo DiCaprio, who made that possible. But here's the deal. We have this one organization. By August 5, it had challenged 852,000 voters. 2 million was their aim by election day. Hardly any coverage. The New York Times ran a little story about, oh, there's these vigilantes challenging people, and that's just creating a problem for elections officials. No, it's not. It's creating a problem for our democracy, Steve. And here's what's happened. We have these old Jim Crow rules which allow any individual. I can say, Greg Palast can say, Steve Norris doesn't live in Florida. Don't allow him to vote. What these people have done, and let me explain, one single GOP official, these are not government officials, these are Republican Party officials. I'm not being, by the way, just so you know, I'm not being partisan about this. I'm just reporting the facts. This one woman challenged 32,000 people in a 32,000 people in a suburb of Atlanta. I have another GOP party chairman from Southern Georgia who personally challenged 4,000 voters. He got this list from this right-wing group created by Donald Trump called True the Vote, promoted by Trump. He challenged 4,000 voters, including Gamaliel Turner, who you'll see in my film Vigilantes, Inc. This guy works for the Pentagon. He was assigned to a base in California, so he had to move from his base in Georgia, from Fort Benning. And so this Republican Party official challenged all these voters, mainly black soldiers out of Fort Benning, and said, well, they don't live in Georgia. Well, no, soldiers who've been assigned to another state, to Iraq or Syria or California or Germany, Believe it or not, Steve, soldiers are allowed to vote by absentee ballot, even if they're black soldiers. This black soldier, career military officer, had his vote blocked. He calls up, he says, where's my absentee ballot? He says, oh, well, no problem, Mr. Turnbull, but you've been challenged. All you have to do is show up and prove your citizenship and your address. He says, again, this is a black man. And by the way, just so you know, he actually went 5,000 miles round trip to save his vote. He went to federal court. His vote was saved, but the 4,000 other soldiers had their votes denied. This happened nationwide. We have to deal with this fact that we still have apartheid voting in America. Whether that flipped the election or not, it's looking close by the numbers I'm looking at, but I want to be very careful. This is Greg Palast. For those who know me, I'm an investigative reporter, and I don't report till I investigate. So I have to get all the numbers from the different states, but I can tell you that the suppression of the vote, which is a fancy word for screwing basically black people, people of color out of their vote, it goes into the millions. Steve, let me give you one number that you should know. 4 years ago, according to the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, this is not Greg Palast, this is the government official numbers, there were 10 million people shunted to provisional ballots. 10 million. 2.7 million of those ballots, about one-third of them, 2.7 million ballots were rejected and never counted. And it's overwhelmingly, if you're black, Hispanic, Asian American, your chance will be shunted to a provisional ballot, even what I call placebo ballots. You think you've voted, but you haven't. 10 million provisional ballots, 2.7 million rejected. If you're black, Hispanic, or Asian American, the chance you will be denied your vote is 300% higher than if you're white. And ultimately, if your ballot is rejected and you're black, the chance is 700% higher to have your ballot rejected than if you're white. And you go into that provisional ballot dumpster, we have many other techniques of vote suppression in America. I can tell you right now, in 2016, that's where Hillary Clinton's victory was, in that dumpster. This time, I don't know. I want all the final numbers, but the number of ballots rejected is in the millions. We don't report this in America. When I'm at BBC in London, that's my main, you know, I work for BBC, we announce the number of ballots not counted, 1,000 for Tories, 1,000 for Labor, and then we say 4 or 5 ballots have been spoiled and unreadable. In America, we don't report that because it's millions. It's millions, Steve. That's the danger.
Wow. All right. We're listening to Greg Palast, the champion of the truth, investigative reporter, especially when it comes to voting rights, and counter, but while we're counting things, we're going to count WSLR, because we need your support at WSLR, and we need for you to call in 941-894-6469, please. Come support our radio station so we can have more reports like Greg Palast. Now, Greg Palast is a supporter of independent and uncensored media. And Greg, why don't you take a minute and just tell us how important that is.
Okay, I want to tell people, you're listening to WSLR. This is the voice of truth in Florida. This is so important. I don't get paid to make this pitch to you, but I'm making it to you. Please call the number. I want Steve, I'm going to ask you to repeat that number. I want you to say it slowly. I want you to say it so that people get it, because if you don't get it, you're all upset when I tell you about these reports of voters of color denied their vote. And remember, I started this in 2000 when Catherine Harris, your local little Secretary of State, knocked off 58,000 black voters off the voter rolls of Florida saying that these people are felons. Not one, 000 of those 58,000 black men were ex-cons unable to vote, but that allowed George W. Bush to be elected President of the United States by just 537 votes in Florida, excluding those black men. If you think that that's a wound to democracy, that's a wound to everything we need, I want you to call this number now. It's so important, because this is Greg Palasing. I can't get this word out except for WSLR. Steve, could you please tell the number to call? Nice and slow so people get it.
Yes, that's 941-894-6469. Or you can go online at WSLR.org. That's 941-894-6469. Or just go online at WSLR.org to contribute any amount. And we talked about how you were helping with democracy. Tell us a little bit of a success with the cross-check that you were reporting on Jesse Jackson's work.
Well, I want to tell you. Okay, so I've done this new film, Vigilantes, Inc., which, by the way, you can stream for free because of a donation from Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie Foxx. You can stream this for free at gregpalast.com. GregPalast.com, and you can see how vote suppression works in America. You just grab some popcorn. It's a really entertaining film. It's narrated by Rosario Dawson, produced by Martin Sheen, my favorite president, President Bartlett. I want you to do that, but I want you to also understand that if we don't have WSLR, we don't have the voice we need to get this material out. So I want to tell you right now, I don't get paid for this. I don't get anything out of it except to tell you how important this is. Because I'm on the top of the nightly news at BBC, the front page of the Guardian newspapers, which is the number one English language paper around the world. But in America, these words about the attack on our democracy cannot be heard unless you are listening to WSLR. And I want you to go to WSLR.org. I want you to make a donation right now. I don't get a penny out of this. I'm just telling you that the truth is, you know, we have free speech in America, except it ain't free. I was just hearing how two billionaires, Ken Griffin and Paul Singer, the guy I've investigated called the Vulture, they contributed over $100 million to the Republican Senate campaign to take control of the Senate. Now, I'm not partisan. You want to vote for Republican, vote for Republican. That's okay with me. Vote for Democrat, it's okay with me. What I'm concerned with is that money, we have a coup d'etat of money seizing our electoral process. Now, we don't need many dollars to counter this, because with our radio station, we can tell the truth. So go to WSLR.org, WSLR.org. Make your contribution right now. Do not hesitate. You can listen to this program, and you can go to WSLR.org. Make your contribution right now. This keeps the truth alive. Remember when you watched Peter Pan and you said, "Oh, Tinkerbell, please. Come on, Tink. Come on, Tink." Well, this is the Tinkerbell of truth at WSLR.org. Please go there right now. Thanks. This is Greg Palast saying, I'm commanding you. I don't get paid for this. I'm doing it because I need it.
All right, that's 941-894-6469. We have volunteers just waiting to take the call. And Greg, in your latest article, you mentioned why it's so important that we have voting rights in the United States. And could you tell us how voting rights and civil rights could be affected?
Well, let me give you some examples. In the film Vigilantes, Inc., again, you can watch that film, stream it at gregpalast.com. palast.org. That's P-A-L-A-S-T. So gregpalast.org or .com. And I want you to go to gregpalast.com and watch that, grab some popcorn. So for example, in this past year, we've had nearly 20 billion, I'm not talking thousands, I'm talking millions of voters were removed from the voter rolls, purged from the voter rolls, 20 million. Now, about half of those were dead or had moved, but about half are legitimate voters, overwhelmingly voters of color. We didn't talk about this. No other civilized nation, no other advanced nation in the world simply starts purging people off the voter rolls, removing their right to vote. And if you watch my film, Vigilantes, Inc., you'll see one woman. You'll see this elderly woman in a walker, 92 years old. She'd been voting at the same voting station for 50 years. And they claimed that she didn't live in Georgia anymore. I went to her house after I saw her. I didn't plan this. I just, you know, we were there at the polling station. Black voter after black voter after black voter was being told, you can't vote here, you can't vote here, you can't vote here. Including this 92-year-old woman. I went to her house two blocks away where they said she didn't live anymore. And there on the wall was Martin Luther King's picture. Having dinner with her 50 years earlier. She is Martin Luther King's cousin. That's who they knocked off the voter rolls. Her granddaughter was hysterical. You'll see this in the film, Vigilantes, Inc. Again, go to gregpalast.com. You can stream it for free. But I don't want you to do that until after you make your donation at WSLR.org. WSLR.org. Why am I promoting this? Because if we don't have an outlet for the truth, a dark night will descend on America. We don't have a lot of places where the light comes through. This is not about whether you're for or against Trump or Kamala Harris. That's not my concern. My concern is that I want to make sure that democracy is coming to the USA, as Leonard Cohen would say. This is important to all of us. I would, you know, I'm promoting WSLR because it is a true voice in Florida for true information, WSLR.org. I want you to go there right now. I want you to make a donation. Because, and then I want you to go to GregPalast.com and watch a film and understand what's happened to American democracy.
All right, Greg, let me just remind people again, we're listening to Greg Palast, investigative reporter, telling us about the integrity of voting here in the United States. So one thing I guess I just have to ask you is if it is possible, are we going to have fair elections in the United States in the future?
You know what, Steve? We fought for this for 200 years. We had a civil war. 600,000 Americans died. And for what became the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, the 15th being the right of black people to vote. And then we lost it again by, again, a stolen election, 1876, when the Democrat Tilden won both the Electoral College and the popular vote. But the Republicans were able to disqualify one elector on the Democratic side. That allowed them to appoint the Republican who had lost both the popular vote and the electoral vote to be president of the United States. We've been here before. Now, I want you to understand, I don't know if all these vote suppression techniques, which involve canceling millions of votes, made the difference in this election. I'm still, because, you know, if you know Greg Palast, I'm an investigative reporter. I'm not going to report until I finish my investigation. It looks bad. But all I can tell you is, literally millions of voters lost their right to vote. Think about Florida, where the overwhelming majority of Floridians voted to allow ex-cons to vote. You served your time, go and vote. We're not Saudi Arabia, not the old Soviet Union where you lose your citizenship rights. Florida did the right thing. But then your governor said, oh, well, you got to look around, see if you owe money to the court. And all these games, which made it impossible for 700,000 Floridians to vote. Is that democracy? Now, we have in Georgia, we have in these swing states. In these swing states, you had a massive attack on the voter rolls. Again, I want to say the attack on the voter rolls in Arizona and Nevada, which Trump won by just a smidgen. Let's not forget that these states have these vigilante attacks on the voter rolls. Now, what is a vigilante attack? It's when someone who's not a government official uses a Jim Crow law from 70 years before, which is still on the books, to allow you personally to say, this is Greg Palast, I don't think that Steve Norris should be allowed to vote in Georgia. Now, who am I to do that? I can tell you Cleta Mitchell, who is Trump's attorney, challenged, at least 10,000 voters in Florida that she challenged. Again, who is Cleta Mitchell to challenge Steve Norris or anyone else? The answer is these are old Jim Crow laws left on the books of Florida and 43 states which allow individuals to challenge other individuals. And that's what happened in Arizona. That's what happened in Nevada. And I got to tell you, if you watch my film, Vigilantes, Inc., you'll find out that, and for example, in Wisconsin, which supposedly Trump won. I'm still looking at those numbers. The state of Wisconsin was eliminating 130,000 voters. Of that number, I do know absolutely that 30,000 of those voters were legal voters. They were either black voters in Milwaukee or student voters in Madison. I'm not guessing because I turned over the list of people being purged in Milwaukee to Amazon. And believe me, Steve, Amazon knows where you live. You don't get someone else's tidy whities by accident. Have you ever noticed that you have a kind of common name, Steve Norris, that you would, the reason you don't get someone else's package and they don't get yours is that Amazon knows where you live. We had Amazon go through every single name on the purge list. And he said, here's 35,000 people in Wisconsin, mostly in Milwaukee and some students in Madison, who live at their legal voting addresses, but they were purged. This is no joke. This is the exact information we have. I go by the facts, and the facts are that voters of color, students, young people, are being removed from the voter rolls and blocked from voting by these vigilantes or by state purges of the voter rolls. It's ugly, it's racist, and we have to overcome this Democratic horror show.
All right, Greg. Thank you for that synopsis. And, of course, this is a continuing story. This is not the first time you've been on our show. This will not be the last time you'll be on WSLR and WPPV reporting to us about voting integrity and problems here in the United States. And thank you so much for joining us today, Greg Palast. And again, if people want to support our radio station, please feel free to pick up the phone and dial 941-894-6469 and go to WSLR.org. And again, Greg, I want to thank you so much for taking time for supporting WSLR, and you have supported us.
Thank you so much, and I want people to go to GregPalast.com, grab some popcorn and watch a movie, stream it for free. But I also, it's really important. I think that people don't take this seriously. You need WSLR.org. Go to WSLR.org, because you know what? I've worked with community radio stations that have disappeared because people did not take it seriously. This is your station. This is your outlet. to the bright light of truth. So go to WSLR.org. Make your contribution. This is Greg Palast saying thank you so much for supporting your outlet. I mean, I'm all over the world. I'm on the top of the nightly news at BBC. I'm at the front page of the Guardian newspapers. But in my own country, it wasn't for WSLR and community stations like yours, my voice would be silenced. And so I so much appreciate it that people are supporting WSLR.org. Go there right now. I can't imagine anything more important you can do in this moment of darkness in America.
This has been Steve Norris reporting for WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida.
All right, that's Greg Palast interview. All right, Juan, what do you think?
Well, Steve, it's pretty straightforward, you know? It's pretty straightforward. The people that are listening to a radio station, but not all radio stations are the same. I'm not going to get into a deep thing here, but I'll tell you, there's public radio stations like this one, and there's private radio stations like the ones with commercials in them, okay? And that's really... enough information. That's enough information. You got stations that are commercial radio stations or private companies, businesses, or you have public radio stations, you know, like this one and like the NPR stations and stations. Basically just NPR. NPR, that's all I know that is really public, you know. And stations like this were not an NPR. Well, I guess the Pacifica radio stations.
We're part of Pacifica, yes.
We're part of Pacifica. So the Pacifica radio stations are public radio stations. But we are a small group of stations compared to the businesses or to the private radio stations. And when you talk about public, you're talking about like public schools, money for public schools. You're talking about public libraries. You're talking about public roads, you know, where people use every day to drive on. Public beaches that you go and you don't have to pay to go on the beach. You're talking about public parks, the park system. You do pay an admission fee, but the park, the actual land is owned by the government. It's not owned by a business. So this is kind of like where we fit as WSLR into that group of enterprises by human beings. And we do need to keep the lights on. We do need money to operate. And that's why we're doing this fall membership drive, and we're asking you to participate in that.
All right, 894-6469. This year, our public funding was completely eliminated. So we had quite a bit of cash. I'm not going to mention exactly how much, or maybe we can.
No,
but it's gone.
It's gone. And you know, it's not an accident that it's gone, because part of that money was government money. And some people in the government didn't like it going to us.
Right. So there's a few of us nonprofits that got hit. WSLR got hit really hard. And in order for us to stay on the air, we're going to need your support. It's been a little quiet here.
Right.
Now, we're going to report on local news items. Where else are you going to hear about local news items like what's going on at New College?
Exactly.
So something important is going on at New College in terms of woke. You're not going to expect to hear. But let's hear Lulu Rini tell us what's reporting about New College.
You and Lou Lorini, Steve, you and Lou Lorini do such a fantastic job. You're such an asset to this radio station. I want to just take a minute. You know, I've known you since I've been working here, but we don't get to see each other that often because you send in your program. You're actually not in the studio like we are.
Right.
But it's one of the marvelous things about these fundraising drives is that we get to see each other face to face, like
it's
we're
fun.
Doing across. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And
you're welcome to come down to the studio and have fun with us. We also have great music venues coming on here all the time. So.
Yeah, no, Fogartyville is fantastic. And our newspaper is also very important vehicle. So we got those three things: the Critical Times, the newspaper, and the radio station, and Fogartyville.
Yep. All right, let's hear about New College. We just have about 10 minutes left.
New College of Florida is offering a course on the woke movement, but it's not about what you might expect. For the first time in the school's history, New College is offering a course on wokeness. The woke movement, offered as a one-month independent study in January, paints the movement as kind of a cult, that methods are essentially liberal, and whose members are capable of the most dehumanizing behavior, according to the course description emailed to students this weekend. The class comes amidst a statewide movement to push diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives out of state-run institutions. 2 years ago, Governor Ron DeSantis overhauled the school's Board of Trustees in a move to push the public honors college in a conservative direction. The class will be led by comedian and conservative commentator Andrew Doyle, an Oxford-trained historian best known for his satirical ex-persona, Tatiana McGrath, and features readings from activist and New College trustee Christopher Rufo and former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Students will also read passages from historian and author Ibrahim X. Kendi and legal scholar Robin DiAngelo. According to the course description, both scholars helped popularize critical race theory and have become frequent targets of some free speech activists. In interviews in his recent book, The New Puritans, How Religion of Social Justice Captured the Western World, Doyle speaks to his own experience, losing friends and followers for his pushback on what he calls a new censorial and identity-obsessed brand of social justice activism. Doyle did not respond to multiple requests for comment. New College spokesperson Nate March also did not provide a comment in time for publication. The course offering came as a surprise to New College Faculty Union co-president Nova Myhill. Courses proposed by employees who are not members of any academic division's faculty are typically brought to the relevant division for review and approval, including Doyle's previous course covering Shakespeare's tragedies. But Monday morning, that was the first she'd heard of Doyle's class on the woke movement. The one-month January term is designed to allow students to pursue independent interests, but also includes group projects that are organized as intensive courses for students who want more structure, Myhill said. Other offerings this year include the evolution of media and its impact on religious practices, and investigating brevetoxins in Sarasota Bay fish and sharks. It's not the first time the independent study class has made headlines. New College Dean David Rancourse garnered criticism last year after making off-color jokes about sexual assault during a class on comedy. Doyle's course may not have received the same oversight as other offerings because he serves as a presidential scholar, hand-selected by New College President Richard Corcoran, and is not subject to the same academic review as traditional faculty. Doyle is one of a handful of new faculty hired by Corcoran's office with a connection to right-wing media. The Guardian recently reported other presidential scholars include the controversial political science scientist Bruce Gilley and literary theorist Stanley Fish. Doyle's comedy has veered in recent years from smirking parodies of progressive posturing to urgent warnings of social threat posed by wokeness during appearances on Tucker Carlson and the John B. Peterson podcast.
All right, thanks to Lou Larini for that report about New College. And
got to thank Lou Larini for his cash contribution to WSLR Radio, too.
Go ahead, Lou.
So, yeah, this is a perfect moment to bring Lou, thank you. Thank you for, you know, it's been in the hundreds. You're donating in the hundreds to WSLR and, of course, in support of your show. So thank you, Lou Lorini.
Great. All right. And one more thing. They mentioned something about Shakespeare during in comedy during that last report. Let's talk about if monkeys can actually reproduce Shakespeare.
We've all heard the speculation that a monkey hitting typewriter keys for an infinite amount of time would eventually write all the works of Shakespeare. Well, apparently not so. The infinite monkey theory posits that a monkey pressing keys on a typewriter for an infinite amount of time would eventually write all of Shakespeare's works, which are more than 880,000 words. The theory is used to illustrate the concept of random chance and infinite possibilities and has been referenced in popular culture, such as the TV series The Simpsons. But in practice, it is impossible, according to mathematicians Stephen Woodcock and Jay Folletta from the University of Technology, Sydney in Australia. The infinite monkey theorem only considers the infinite limit with either an infinite number of monkeys or an infinite time period of monkey labor, Woodcock explained in a statement. In their paper, the researchers sought to re-examine the theory under the constraints of our finite universe. They estimated the probability of a single monkey or even an entire global population of chimpanzees reproducing the English writer's works within the estimated lifespan of the universe. The study used the heat death theory for the end of the universe, which theorizes our universe will end in a Google of years, that is 10 to the power of 100, or one with 100 zeros behind it. The findings show that even in a universe's lifetime, it would be impossible for the primates to produce Shakespeare's poems and plays. It also remains unlikely, even in favorable assumptions such as a typing speed of one key per second and a reduced 30-character keyboard with letters and basic punctuation. What appeared possible was a 5% chance that a chimp could type the word bananas in its own lifetime.
All right, there you go. Monkeys producing all of Shakespeare's work for us. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Surreal News. My name is Steve Norris, and you listen today to Greg Palast telling us about the integrity of elections here in the United States. We also talk about the woke course being taught at New College and what to expect if you're an immigrant or if you work with one. And after this show, we have Democracy Now!, which is coming up in a couple of minutes. And on our way out, let's listen to a little bit of discussion about some forever chemicals in our rain.
It's literally raining forever chemicals in Miami. PFAS are in Miami's rainwater, and it is the latest evidence the synthetic forever chemicals that have raised health concerns for people and wildlife hitch a ride on the water cycle using the complex system to circulate over greater distances. For more than a year, Florida International University's researchers collected and analyzed 42 rainwater samples across three different sites in Miami-Dade County. A total of 21 perfluoroalkylide and perfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS, were detected, including PFOs and PFOAs, since phased out of production over cancer concerns, as well as newer varieties used in manufacturing today. While profiles of several PFAs matched back to local sources, others did not, according to the study published in the Atmospheric Pollution Research. This suggests Earth's atmosphere acts as a pathway to transport these chemicals far and wide, contributing to the worldwide pollution problem. The water cycle is a complex system responsible for moving water around the Earth. Now, PFAS are using it as a pathway to spread and circulate over greater distances. The PFAS are practically everywhere, said FAU Assistant Professor of Chemistry and study author Natalie Soares Quinette. Now we're able to show the role air masses play and potentially bringing these pollutants to other places.
All right, we're going to bring that down because we're coming to the end of our hour here on WSLR and WBPV. And this is our fund drive. Please support us.